We have been speaking about the cross of Christ. We were away in Asaba on Monday and Tuesday. That's Israel, Yinka, and I. And the message where we went to preach, and what I was asked to speak about, the same thing: Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I said to them then that I'm very persuaded that that is the message of God for this season. And why is it the message of God? I'm just perceiving the mind of the Spirit. It's more like it's trying to pull people back into where they are supposed to be. The church has leaned in recent times excessively towards the area of works. And our best example, I say it all the time so as to be able to correct people concerning it permanently. Our best example, that's not the only area. It's just that it's the best way to illustrate it. This is how we say it. If you want to prosper, you have to give. So the amount of money that comes to you is directly tied to the amount of seed that you sow financially. So people say, when you need something, you don't pray. That it's against the will of God to go and pray. What do? You go and sow. And then, of course, I'm not talking about that in details now. And so, without realizing it, we began to preach a gospel of works. If you want to prosper, give. You cannot prosper except you give. We make statements like nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. All of which are not true. All these statements are not scriptural. They are in direct opposition to the grace of God. They are things that God said directly. If you have a need, go and ask the Father in my name. I mean, you have to tear those pages of the book of John away from your Bible. You have to consciously. I went to preach. Somebody said to me afterwards, he mentioned the name of a very big man. That the man said, just don't drop your offering. When you are dropping it, you have to tie something to it. If you are giving your tithe, you have to tie something to it. When you have to give your offering, you tie. And he mentioned the name of a very weighty man of God. And one of the things I tried to do, if you read my book, Grace to Prosper, at the back when I addressed an issue, I was careful not to mention any man of God's name. Because this is not a battle of the size of your name. It's a battle concerning the truth that's revealed in the scriptures. So when the man finished speaking with me, I just whispered, because there was a lot of noise, all right, when he was talking. I just bent into his ears and said, I don't agree with him. It's not scriptural. I don't care the name that you mentioned, all right? It's not even in Nigeria. People say it everywhere. I'm just trying to use that one to illustrate again. That is how we have carried the gospel of works to an extent that God has really gotten provoked in this season. God doesn't prosper you, I want to say clearly, because you gave. Your prosperity is not tied to your giving. Your giving is a sign of your faithfulness as a child of God. You were born to do good works. It's a sign of your faith that you don't trust in money. We read from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, I instruct those who are rich in this world not to be conceited and trust in the uncertainty of riches. He said, instruct them to put their trust in God, who gives us all things richly to enjoy. That's in verse 17. What was he saying? He said, this is how you will manifest your faith. Instruct them to do good, to be generous, to be quick and ready to share. That's a sign of faith. Anybody who is not generous, quick to share, ready to share, is not somebody that's walking by faith. In fact, Derek Prince, I was listening to him over the last few days. He said that one of the signs that you have repented is that you change your attitude towards money. I heard the reference say this just a few days ago. He said, if indeed you have given your life to Christ, your attitude towards money will reflect it. If it doesn't reflect it, go and check. Maybe you are not properly saved yet. Yeah. Now, the reference was saying that, all right? Now, he was talking about some things, all right? But I just remembered it now so as to explain the point I'm making. So that's why we give as Christians. We are generous people. We are good people. We are perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. That is, that's the nature of God that is in us. For God so loved the world that he gave. All right, you get my point? And if you are like your Father who is in heaven, you will so love your neighbor, you will give. You will so love the gospel of God, you will give towards it. You will so love the people who are in need, you will give to them. You cannot love without giving. That's how it is. Is that why you prosper? Most certainly not. Most certainly not. When you want to ask God for prosperity, you know how to handle it. Paul said like this, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. That is the word of God. Listen, there is nothing you can give to God. I know some of you heard rubbish this week. That's why my message has gone like this. I'm sure. I'm certain of it. I'm certain. I am very certain because I don't know what I'm doing right now. I've said this 5,000 times, but you've gone somewhere, you have been confused. Yet, come back. I've come to wash your feet. This is what they call the washing of feet. Anytime you go around, your feet gathers dust. What is the dust? Wrong doctrine. Are you getting my point? You have now come back. I am now washing your feet. This is what they call washing of the disciples' feet. You've heard a lot of testimonies. You went out somewhere this week and you heard testimonies. And you too, you want that car, you want that house, you want that job. And you've gone to sow a seed or you're preparing it for tomorrow. Hear me. If you sow 1 naira, you will lose 5 naira. That is a commandment of God. I'm not joking about it. Try it. Just try it. Try to prove that I'm wrong. Go tomorrow, sow 5,000. 25K is leaving your pocket this week. It's a special manifestation. It is not as if that's how the law of God is. I'm just so that you will be provoked to obedience. Jesus is good. If you believe, it's amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Some of you went somewhere yesterday, you were confounded with stories. Listen, all the seeds that need to be sowed for your prosperity, Jesus sowed it. Yes. It's like your father bought a large piece of land and he gave it to you, or he wrote in his will before he died, this is your portion. Then after he died, they showed you the will that this 5 acres in a good part of town is yours. You now start investigating. Please, who sold it to my father? Let me go and pay him some extra money so he won't be angry. The CFO is with you. Your father settled everybody, settled the community, settled everybody. He even fenced it round. They now gave you your own portion of it. This is the CFO. This is everything. This is your father's will. These are the receipts with which he paid. He said, well, let's just look for them. Let's pay some extra. And unfortunately for you, you're just leaving school. They never even mobilize you for NYC. And one thing your father did not leave for you is money. And the value of that land, in fact, let's not talk about the value. Let us assume your portion, what your father paid for it when he paid, was like 20 million naira. Right now, if they sell you, you know, slave trade reactivated for your sake, nobody could pay 5,000. Yet, you want to pay something extra for something that somebody paid 20 million naira for. It's called ignorance. What did I call it? Ignorance. What did I call it? Ignorance. What should you have just done? Just go there. It's mine. How do you know it's yours? Look at the certificate of occupancy. Look at the will that my father wrote. It has been executed. We have done everything. This is mine. Nobody can come from the former owners and come and start talking now. Anybody wants to talk, you have enough documents. The word of God is your document. And what does that word say? It says that you have been liberated from poverty. Why? By the grace of Jesus Christ. So when you want to make demands from God, you make demands simply based upon what Jesus paid. That is the point. Please, let's get this clear. Walk into the throne of grace boldly and obtain mercy. Find grace to help in the time of need. That is, don't check, do I qualify for this? Remember the story I told you once? One brother here, he told me that I don't ask God for anything. I said, why don't you? This life is hard. I mean, how can you go about life without asking God for anything? He said, I don't know what I have done for him that he should do anything for me. That is the lie we have told the people of God. The man has needs. He has issues. But he can't ask God because he's not sure that he has provoked God enough. Oh God, don't be angry. I know. I was born as a sign of your mercy. To come and liberate your people from ignorance. Hey. God will just look and say, what are you talking about? I have not yet given enough to provoke him. So when I go there, God said, do you need anything? No. I have not yet sown into your life, God. And we carry this nonsense. No, God has been watching for a very long time. This is the time of repentance. What did I call it? Stop that nonsense. That's what he's saying. Stop that nonsense. We draw near with boldness to the throne of grace. We obtain what? Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is everything that Jesus paid for so that your sins are overlooked. Are you getting my point? That's what mercy is. It is the weight of the payment of Jesus Christ. So you obtain mercy. So when you want to ask God for something, What have you given me? God said, "What you don't even have space again. Jesus has filled the whole space with seed. You understand what I'm saying there? That Jesus has filled the whole place with the ultimate seed. So when I want to ask God for something, I ask him boldly. I do not have. Have you given? Why should I give? Didn't Jesus give enough? That's what it is. He gave his life. He gave his life. He gave his life. He gave his life. That is it. He gave everything. So when I want to make demands, I make demands based upon what he did, not what I have done or what I am doing. Everything I do now is just a sign of what? Faithfulness. I'm walking towards, in quotes now, hearing the word, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I'm working for. Life has two sides. I've discussed it again and again and again here. Let me say one more time so I can get into my message again for today. There is a servant side, there is a sonship side. What is a servant side? It's called working according to purpose. And it's not just about giving. Let me explain that again to people. It's not just about giving. I've given this, I've not given that. Your whole life is what we are talking about. Your career, your choice of career. You don't just choose any career because it makes money. You choose your career according to purpose, according to the leading of the Spirit. God can, look, the Lord can arrange it. You wake up one day, they offer you a job. Your starting income, 700K a month. I'm not talking about the housing allowance. Or the fact that the car comes with the job. Yet, as you're looking at it, something inside you will say, that is not the will of God. So you are going to go into a place where you have no gift, no calling. I have no plan for you in that area. What should I do? Come on, go and join some missionaries. Move around a bit. And you will know that once you enter that place, when they say, "Let us go and preach inside the bush," you are excited. When you raise your hand like this, the sick, they just start getting healed. You never talk. You know. But how much is the wages of the missionary? Because it's PRN. You know what doctors call PRN? When you are hungry, I will feed you. That is, PRN means, when the doctor writes PRN, it just means when the patient needs it. So if they write, as an example, 2 tablets of Panadol, PRN. What that simply means that when he has a headache and he calls the nurse and says, "Please, my head is aching, give him 2 tablets. If he doesn't complain, don't give him anything. So he said, "What's the salary?" He said, "That's how it is, don't worry, I will meet your needs." And listen, the Bible says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It's only your village that thinks that it consists in the amount of houses he has there. Are you getting my point? The word of God is always true. Now, so I'm just saying again, so when you're talking about servanthood, that's what I'm talking about. Servanthood, number one, your life, how you are living it, where you are going, where you are not going. It's not just the seed you gave to God, you know, in quote. But sonship, you make demands based on on relationship. So when I'm working for God, that's servant, you know, that's the servant side of life. All right? The Bible says that there are sons that serve, and that's how it is with us as believers. You know, he said that we spare them like a man spares his son that serves him. Paul wrote concerning Timothy. He said, "He has served with me in the course of this gospel like a son serving his father." That's how it is. There's sonship, there is service. Our sonship gives us everything freely in Christ Jesus. But we don't take that grace in vain. Are you getting my point? Which is what I try to emphasize. You know, a lot of people, their fear is that if you tell Christians that their prosperity is not because of their giving, they think they will not give. And I keep on telling pastors, it means you are not pastoring Christians. You are pastoring unbelievers. They are not believers. Better preach for them to give their lives to Christ. You need to rearrange your message that be born again so that you won't go to hellfire. Right now, they have not believed. That's why liberty is not producing generosity from them. Otherwise, it should. What am I emphasizing? The fact that in the cross of Christ, everything has been settled. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's it. In the cross of Christ, everything has been settled. That is the solution to all the problems of mankind. Let's not ever forget it. Now, whoever brought that matter up again in his or her heart, leave me alone. Let me preach my message. Okay? I'm sure I have helped you. The Lord is good. Don't worry, I know. I know anytime something happens like that, now person calls him. And that's why we keep coming here, to make sure people are persuaded concerning the truth that is the word of God. So we have been talking about that, the cross of Christ. Now let me just start again today. This is now where my message for today is starting. I think I was ministering to a few people earlier. I will continue from where we stopped. And what I want to talk about today is what I title simply the resurrection. That's just a simple thing about it, the resurrection. I wrote a tract on that. You can, if you don't have, I don't know whether I will have it around, but take it and read it. If you don't have it physically, download from our website. It is up there. So I want to talk today about what I call the resurrection. Now, when we talk about the cross of Christ, it's a whole process. It's not just that tree that he was nailed to. We are talking about his passion, that is his sufferings, the beatings and everything, the stripes that was placed, all right, that were placed upon him. That's part of it. The nailing to the cross, his death, that's very, very crucial. And of course, it did not end there. After the third day, he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And after that, he rose up again from the dead. And that's what I want to talk about today, all right? Now, remember, I need to emphasize this. This is so strong in my mind. I need to emphasize it again. Even me, I'm getting more blessed, more settled in my work with God just by preaching this series, okay? Because some of the things I have come to understand, all right, is the meaning of the word believe, all right? Again, remember, I just want to go over it briefly. We're reading from John chapter 3, and then we read from Numbers chapter 21. Let's just read it. I won't spend much time on it. I just want to emphasize what we saw there before. John chapter 3, and then Deuteronomy chapter 21, and we'll read especially that one from the Amplified Bible. You see what they said in John chapter 3? It's just something I want to bring out from there. He said in verse 14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes within him have eternal life. Notice that it is the fellow that believes. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for the purpose that somebody will believe. All right? He says, so that whoever believes shall not perish, but have. That word believe, we have tried at different times to describe it. I want to go over the meaning of the word believe again. What does it mean to believe? It doesn't just mean to agree with the preacher. It doesn't mean just to give your life to Christ in one instant. Because a lot of people, they give their lives to Christ because you can't stay there alone. Who wants to give your life to Christ? On your right, the hands are up. On your left, hands are up. So you put up your hand and they come forward, you follow them forward. It happens a lot. What does it mean to believe? This time around, we read from the Amplified Translation. Numbers chapter 21. Remember the story? The people were beaten by serpents. And then they went to Moses. Moses prayed to the Lord. And God gave them a prescription. And in verse 9, Moses obeyed the prescription. The Bible says, and Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had beaten any man, when he looked to the serpent of bronze, attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. Please note those words. The fellow looked at that bronze serpent attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. That is the Amplified rendering, all right, of Luke in that Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. Now, if you remember, in that John chapter 3, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Are you getting my point? It's the same principle that God gave them another serpent in the New Testament, which was Jesus Christ on the cross, so that whoever we believe on him will be saved. Whoever believes in him will not perish. We are defining the word believe again. What does it mean to believe? That's what we have seen here. It means to look at him attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. We know this because he said, just as Moses was given that prescription to lift up a serpent in the wilderness, and this was how women got their deliverance through that serpent. It wasn't just by sitting down and agreeing that indeed Moses is called. It's not just by sitting down and saying that the power of God actually has walked through Moses. It's not by sitting down and saying, yes, indeed, God told Moses to make a serpent. I agree with him. Moses, I hope you have made the serpent. Who did you ask to make the serpent? Is it, Bezalel, or who else made the serpent? Or like I said, or was it Aaron that threw the bronze materials into the fire and then out crawled this serpent? You understand? You know, that's not what the man was doing. What was he doing? He looked at the serpent. He gazed at it with a steady gaze. So if we believe now also, it is not just to go to church. It is to have a steady gaze upon the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to believe. And I'm saying and I'm persuaded about it. I'm trying, all right, like Paul would say, laboring by the grace of God working with me to help everybody to understand that there is nothing, listen to me, there is nothing that you gaze concerning, you understand what I'm trying to say here? That this maybe it's a sickness, it's lack, it's confusion, but you gaze at the cross of Jesus Christ steadily. You understand? It is not possible that you not receive a solution to that thing. It's not possible. The problem that people look briefly, like I said last time, we have a lot of faith in doctors. So I gave the example that they want to treat tuberculosis those days. Even till now, I see the problem. The best regimen I know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is still 6 months long. Did they have a shorter one yet? All right. They've improved over the years. It's still 6 months. 6 months of taking like 4 different medicines every day. And people will take it persistently. A lot of times, their symptoms improve in the first few weeks. You understand? After a month or two or three, the fellow is feeling very, very good. Yet, he continues to take it. Before, it used to be 18 months. 18 months. Symptoms improve. Fellow gets well, essentially, in the first few months. But he will take that medicine for the next 18 months. Why? It is called faith. It is called faith. He has so much faith in the doctor. He has so much faith in that doctor. And I'm saying, if we have the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, and we gaze at it attentively, not with curiosity, but expectantly. You know the difference? There's a difference. Let us see what will happen. Let us see what will happen. I mean, I'm going to go to that church for like 5 more months. If nothing happens, we'll go to another church. Yes, people do it. Remember an illustration I gave some time ago? Somebody, you know, I heard about a young woman who wanted a husband and was, of course, tonight is miracle night. Her own miracle was what? Husband, all right? Which is good. I mean, some people want wife, some want husband, some want children, some want money, some want houses. Some want, you can want anything. It's a free world to want. Then she made a statement. I'm giving God till December. If by December he never show, I will arrange my own case. I know how to handle it. Let me just leave it there. You are giving God till December. You know, like, I love God. Amen? Yes. He will say, okay, I am not going to come. And like I always say, you go and get Interpol to come and arrest me from where I am. You are giving God till December. Human beings are so proud. They are full of confusion and of themselves. How can you, even if, in fact, you obviously don't believe. No, what else do you need as sign that you don't believe? That you can say, God, I am giving you till December. If my wife tries that, now, get my point. I'm not her God, though. I'm just her husband. And if she were to tell me, I am giving you till next week, I will bring out the Bible. You have not read that they said, wives, be submissive to thy own husband as unto the Lord. I will start quoting. That's just husband and wife. You can imagine how insulted I will feel. Yet, human beings will go to God and say, I am giving you, oh God, please don't kill somebody. Kill Shekau. Don't kill anybody else. Honestly. Because that God should be so angry. And you get my point? That is vexing. You can imagine your son comes home, "Daddy, I'm giving you till next week." You are going to bring it. Even if you're a white man, did not believe in flogging children. That day you will flog somebody. And this young woman said that, listen, it's a sign you don't believe. Because if you even believe a little bit in God, there are things you can't tell him. Yes, fear alone. Yes, it's true. These are these things, these are the ways by which you know you don't believe in him. If you did, there are things you can't say. Because believing in God doesn't mean that I believe he exists. To believe in God, it means to know that he's alive and active. Are you getting my point? And he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And there's an inverse side to it. He's a punisher of those who insult him. It's the same thing. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You understand my point? And he's the one that has indignation every day against those who annoy him. So if you really believe in him, you won't try him. So when we do all these things, there's a sign we don't believe. What I want to explain? When we believe, what do? We gaze attentively, expectantly. We have a steady and absorbing gaze. And I am saying, if I can give the doctor 18 months to eradicate tuberculosis, if I give God that kind of time, it's called faith and patience. Listen, patience is a sign of faith. Are you getting my point? It is not as if I take patience add to my faith so as to make it get works, get results. It is that if the faith is there, it will be persistent. And when faith is persistent, it's called patience. You get what I'm saying? Please, it's important to understand this. If we believe in him, he will always come through. Those that hopefully wait for him, that's what the Bible says, will never be put to shame. Those that hopefully, in fact, that's the same, in fact, the same thing that scripture is saying. Those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. That is what real faith is. That is what real faith is. That's what we've been talking about. All right? So, the solution of God for all the problems of mankind is the cross of Christ. Now, I'm talking, as I said today, about the resurrection. And I want to just say some things about resurrection. Let's just continue from where we were. I said that that cross is not just, that's not where the story ended. The resurrection, when the Bible's talking about the cross of Christ, actually, he's talking about the resurrection also. Because Paul said that, "I don't want to know anything amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified." But you will see, when he was speaking into the Philippians, he said that, "I'm striving to know him and the power of his resurrection." Are you getting my point? That is, you see that his whole life, all right, is not just about the death of Christ. When he's talking about the cross of Christ, it includes the resurrection of that Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about today. Let's read two scriptures, all right, use as the text for what we're talking about. First of all, the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 24. Open to that. We'll read in context and then end in 24. Then also Acts chapter 2. Let's read that Acts chapter 2 first. The book of Acts chapter 2, the sermon that Peter gave after the Holy Spirit came. Let me see where I'll start from, just to get in context. All right, from verse 22. Verse 22. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." Now this is where I want, verse 24. "But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power," that is the power of death. And he began to give scriptures to support that. But please, I want you to understand something he said here. God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible, everybody please say impossible, impossible, for him to be held in its power. Let me explain something. This is how it is. In spiritual things, life is very dynamic. If a man is poor, he has to be there has to be a spiritual force actively keeping him down. Are you getting my point? It's a balance of forces. You see, he's struggling. He starts a business. He gets a job. He tries to do something. Yet, at the end of the year, you find out that he has collected more expenses than he has earned as income. No be ordinary eye. What do you call him? It's a balance of spiritual forces, and they are working against him. This is how he comes out of his troubles. You shift the balance in spiritual things. Everything in life is like that. There is nothing that is just, you know, static. You may look at it on the surface, it appears static, but actually behind, it's a balance of forces. So for Jesus to remain dead, the force of death, all right, was working to keep him down. And he, for a period, was subject to that force of death. Therefore, he was down. But then, certain things were going on during that period. All right? And when those things were done, the balance of forces, all right, suddenly reversed. So that he now had more power in him, keeping him alive, than the one trying to keep him dead. I don't know what you're getting on and say. And because that power was much more saying, live, the one saying, die, or be dead, all right, they had to lose out. And that was what Peter was saying when he said it was impossible for death to keep him under its power. Do you understand my point? Listen, that's how it works. What was the thing that was happening then? Many things. But one thing you realize is that Jesus Christ died for you and for me. If you believe that, say amen. He did not die for himself. So the only thing that kept him dead, I like the way I said it. The only thing that kept him dead was your sin and mine. So the moment we were forgiven, there was nothing there again to keep him dead. I don't know whether you get my point. But because of his death, because of the shedding of his blood, actually what was going on was that at that time, he went as high priest without blood into the Holy of Holies for the forgiveness of the sins of mankind. So that as soon as his sins were forgiven, there was no longer anything to keep him dead. Are you getting my point? Therefore, it wasn't as if God said, oh boy, you don't die for some time. You do now. Try. Are you getting my point? Or God now says, let us go and raise him up. No, it is not. It wasn't an act of kindness. It was not an act of consideration. You know he's my son. 3 days in the grave, even now your son, can you stand more than that? You know that kind of thing. That was not the issue. The issue was that even if I don't look that way, the moment I forgive sin, the only thing that kept him dead was sin. Therefore, that thing is withdrawn. Instantly, he had to come out from where he was dead and come back to life. That's why it was no longer possible. That's why I like the way the words used there. It says, seeing that it was no longer possible, that it was impossible for him to be held in its power. That's what it means. Are you getting my point? Bear that in mind. Now, why did I read that? To let you know, resurrection in itself, gone. Are you getting my point? Hey, please, get me right. Resurrection in itself is not a big deal. It is the thing that made the resurrection happen that we are talking about. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Okay, let me ask you a question. Maybe you walk somewhere, they pay your money into the, you know, as most of us, it hits, you know, so you're on the way. And somebody is standing in front of you, you know, that kind of thing. Like, oh boy, when are you giving me my money? I said, I told you to wait now, you know, once the month ends, wait now. But the month ended yesterday. Today is the first. Wait now. As you are saying wait now, just hear, text, you know, text message. Or people say, I get message. You check. credit alert. Now let me ask you a question. Can you give that fellow a phone, take this phone and go, and the credit will improve his life? You are owing somebody maybe 15,000 naira. And I say, okay, now that my phone has beeped, you can have the phone. Does it mean anything? Yet, right then and then, you start rejoicing. Say, the boy relaxed. What is itself? You know, before it was like, please now, wait now. But now, what is all of this nonsense? Suddenly, the tone has changed. Now, this kind of harassment women are not like, you know. Why won't you talk like that? When Allah don't show, are you getting my point? And you know, just turn around to the nearest ATM. Follow me. You whip out the ATM card. This is the point. Is it the Allah that's the issue? No. It is the thing that the alert represented. Are you getting my point? That, listen, that bank balance was down. But now it is good. How much am I owing you? Follow me. You get to take your money and don't stop talking to your seniors like that. You know? Your tone changes. Why? Because of an alert. Meanwhile, the alert is just a text. The flesh profits nothing. Are you getting my point? It's just characters. But you know there is a spirit that gives life. You are getting my point. That's it. The spirit is a cash that entered into the bank. Oh, God. Are you getting my point? That's what I mean when I say the resurrection in itself is not the big deal. Like Jesus rose from the dead. No, that's not the big deal. The big deal is why did he suddenly get up from the dead? You get my point? That he rose from the dead. No, that's not the issue. It is that, okay, what was it that culminated into his rising from the dead so that his resurrection was a sign? His resurrection was a sign of things that were accomplished. Listen, God could have just said, okay, everything is all right, come over to heaven, and they didn't see him again. Are you getting my point? But the record amongst the disciples will still be that he died and he went into the grave. But the resurrection was a sign for them. Like I said to you all the time, listen, when God, you must understand the role of faith in life. Faith is crucial for the activities of God on this earth. That's how God did it. If God wants to do something, listen, let me say it again. The only thing God can do without your participation and mine is to wipe out the earth, nothing else. He can't bless the earth. He can't even judge so as to rearrange things on the earth. Except he finds somebody like you and me to cooperate with him. And our cooperation must be by faith. Even though he promised to liberate people, he has to look for a Daniel that will take that word and by faith cause those people to be delivered. I'm going somewhere. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's very, very important. So even though he wanted to bless you and bless me, he needed a man like Abraham to, by his faith, activate the movement of Jesus Christ down to this earth. I'm going somewhere. What am I going to explain? So when God chose Abraham, he chose Abraham for a very important reason. It was good for God and his plan that that woman did not conceive until she was almost 90. It was good. It was good for God. Very, very crucial. The reason was that he was activating the faith of Abraham so that by the faith of Abraham, he could draw some things down to this earth. I dare to say, the only reason why a country like the United States is great today is because of the faith of Abraham. The only reason why you can drill oil in the Middle East today is because of the faith of Abraham. The only reason why you and I can gather here today and have all this technological advancement blessing us is because of the faith of Abraham. For that to happen, God wanted to bring this blessing. He said, let's look for faith. Somebody has to be the father of this faith to activate it on the earth. I'm going somewhere. So what did he do? He picked this man and began to train him. But this man was not going to live for thousands of years. He was just going to live for some 100 and something years and be gone. But he had to deposit a kind of aggressive faith on the earth that will be working even after he's gone. What I'm saying is very, very true. So what did he do? He took a man. They say, what do you give me, seeing that I go childless? And they began to train him. He ensured that his wife's womb was totally dead. Why? He wanted to show Abraham that life could come out of the dead. Listen, before Abraham, nobody had ever died and rose again. Nobody ever did. Zebra never seen it. Yet God trained his faith to an extent. He trained him to an extent that Abraham was able to take Isaac, his promised son, take him, slaughter him, knowing, I don't want to go into that in details now, knowing that he will rise again from the dead. When he said to the mother, the lad and I are going to worship and we will come back. It was not a joke. The Bible says he considered him faithful who had promised. What did he say? You have many children. No. He said, in Isaac will your seed be. So he said, well, if that same God wants him dead, it must be that he has a plan to raise him up again. So when Isaac was born, I'm bringing an issue here. Are you getting my point? It was part of his training to show him that life can come out of death. That the dead, that was when Abraham understood that principle. That even though I kill Isaac, he'll rise again. Because the Bible says he considered, you know, if you read that Romans chapter 4, if you read King James, he said he did not consider. Read every other translation. The Bible says he considered his body as good as dead, and that of and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with reference to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. I'm getting an issue here. The moment Isaac was born, it was a sign that God would never fail. Listen, Isaac was a sign that God would never fail. Read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I described it in there. Isaac was a sign. That was why Abraham could kill Isaac. And he didn't have the best. Isaac was a sign. I mean, please bear that in mind. God is with signs. God is with signs. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was for the sake that they saw him. It was for the sake of the disciples. It was for their sake. Jesus could have just woken up and gone back to heaven and said, we don't finish. And nobody knew. But it would not have activated the necessary faith in the hearts of the disciples. They needed to see every drop of blood drained from his body. They needed to see it. They needed to see him rise up again. He said, flesh and bones. When he came back to them, when he was eating with them, it's a spirit, it's not a spirit, it's a ghost. He said, flesh and bones. That's how he described himself. He was careful to avoid the word flesh and the blood. Why? Because the life that was now keeping him alive is not the same old life. Are you getting my point? They saw these things. He had to interact with them. They saw him beaten. They saw everything drained from his body. So by the time he rose up again, Peter said, it was because death could no longer keep him down under his power. That was why when Paul was going to be killed, he was not afraid of that death. He said simply, I am being poured forth as a drink offering. He said, the time for my departure has come. You must understand, Paul didn't just die by accident. He died as an exit from this world. That is, I'm done. I don't know what I get by saying. He wrote to the Philippians. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. King James will say, whether to go or to stay. He said, but if I stay, it will mean more productive labor amongst you guys. So I think I will just stay. Are you getting my point? Yeah. Listen, that's what he was saying, that I wanted to understand the power of his resurrection. You know what that means? That is, I understand that nobody can kill me and keep me dead. There was a time they killed him, literally beat the man, stoned him, and then he died. And then they left. And he got up and followed the disciples back to the city. Why? He said, keeping me dead is not because of stone. You get my point? You can stone me all you want. There's a power of life that is keeping me alive. And he wrote to the Romans, he said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit is giving life to your mortal bodies. He knew that Jesus was not walking around because blood was pumping in his blood. Are you getting my point? He was walking around because there was a life, a spirit flowing inside him. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. That is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not just okay, we don't die, finish now. You know, any dying remain. No, that kind of thing. No, it is that he rose up from the dead as a sign that everything is now complete. All the sins have been forgiven. Since the wages of sin, all right, is death. That's what sin produces. Now that sin has been wiped away, death also has to be wiped away. As Paul was careful to always use the word that believers sleep in the Lord. Because death can't keep them down. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It's very important we get this point. That is the meaning of resurrection. Resurrection is not just that we are Christians, we are going to Galilee to go and wait after we have finished Easter. Resurrection is to let you know that there's no prediction that says you will be down that you should believe. I don't know what I heard I said. That all the explanations for why you should be down, don't believe it, is a lie. I don't know what I heard I said. That all the explanations, you know why you're not going to succeed? It is simply because you don't have a good degree from school, you did not finish school, you don't know people. You get my point? These are the explanations for death. And anyone who has contemplated that cross of Christ can't accept that. Because when we focus on the cross of Christ, we understand that that is the body being subject to death because of sin. But I'm operating by the power of a new life. The same life, the same force, that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, tell me all the stories. Tell me how my genes are made up. Tell me how my father did not have the correct gene. Tell me how I was born and there was a mistake and I was injured. Tell me everything. I will consider it, yet with respect to the promise of God, I will refuse to waver in unbelief. Why? I will say to you, listen, these are the reasons why Jesus died. Now, let me show you what happened. He rose again, meaning that all your reasons, they don't work anymore. I don't know what I get. You are getting my point? Yeah, that's the progression before now. But that I am a believer in Christ Jesus. Listen, let me say to you again. You see, it's what you focus on that determines how your life turns out. You hear what I said? Yes. It's what you focus on that determines how your life turns out. If you, because you see, all this is what I'm saying. He says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. That is, if they don't look, they will not be delivered. That is why somebody has to be sent to go and tell them, behold. You know what we behold a lot of times? That's a mistake. We behold the news. We behold the report. We behold the doctor's report. We behold the economist's report. We behold every other kind of report. And anyone we behold ends up coming true. And we will now say, we said so. I always knew it. And the devil says, yes, you said so. In fact, I needed you to say so. If you did not say so, I would not have been able to do anything to you. Thank you for saying so, Mr. Say So. Let's read that scripture. I said we're going to read two. The second scripture, Romans chapter 4. Very important for us to understand this. Remember my emphasis? The death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just that somebody got up. He wasn't the first to get up from inside the grave. You know that. He wasn't the first. Even he himself. How long was he dead for? 3 days. Lazarus was dead for how long? Four. So it's not how long somebody was dead. Lazarus was dead. He woke up. His blood still had to flow, the normal blood. So he had to die again. I mean, it's true. But the resurrection of Lazarus, what did he tell us? He only told that Jesus is powerful. I don't know what I get my point. So he said, you know, they used to go and gather and look at Lazarus. Where is Lazarus? Is it true that somebody died? After 4 days, he woke up from the dead again. He said, come and see. So anytime Jesus will come and Lazarus will be there, people were more interested in Lazarus. Yes, they were more interested. Because the Jesus has been alive for a long time. You get my point? But Lazarus, and a number of people saw when he fell sick. They saw when he died. But when he rose again, they traveled. So when somebody said that the guy actually rose from the dead, they said it's a lie. So when they came back from the journey, they had to go and look. Where is he? Where is Jesus Christ? Let's follow this guy. And Jesus just said it. He said it himself, that I'm doing this for you people so that you will believe. So Every resurrection is telling a story. Are you getting my point? Every waking up from the dead. When Lazarus rose up from the dead, it was telling the story that Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ did not tell a story that he was the Son of God. Why? His disciples already knew, they already knew that one. You know, he did not rise up from the dead for everybody to see. When he woke up from the dead, he showed himself only to his disciples. That means the message was only for them. When Lazarus rose from the dead, everybody was watching. So all of them had the opportunity to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But when Jesus himself rose up from the dead, he didn't show himself to anybody else apart from his disciples. In fact, he did like this. Shh, so the soldiers ran away. He scared away the soldiers who should have been the first witnesses. He drove them away. That he was showing them himself only to those who believed him. What does that tell you? The power of his resurrection is only for those who believe. That he was the Son of God, everybody was supposed to believe and accept. But only those who accepted it had the opportunity to be proven to that he rose up from the dead. Why? Because what he accomplished there only applies to them. It was their sins that were forgiven. It's only those who believe that we partake in the power of his resurrection. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Listen, when Jesus rose from the dead, those who believed, they understood that, my God, something has happened. They understood that if Jesus died and that was the end of it, there was no proof that his sacrifice was accepted. I don't know what I heard. I said, the sacrifice in the Old Testament, there usually was proof that it was accepted. Cain's sacrifice was there, Abel's sacrifice was there. Something must have happened for us to know that God did not accept that of Cain, but he accepted that of Abel. So you see, light and fire will show from heaven and lick up, burn up the sacrifice. They will know it was accepted. Sometimes they will offer a sacrifice, somebody will die suddenly. They will know God was not happy with the sacrifice. So Jesus died, his blood was shed, he was beaten, was no proof that it was accepted. The proof that it was accepted was that he rose up from the dead. Are you getting my point? That was the proof. That was the proof. You see, you must understand that when God is doing some things, he knows that not everybody understands. But as you are getting spiritual enlightenment, you start seeing the importance of everything that happened. Because what was the purpose of the sacrifice? The wiping away of sin. What was keeping him dead? The power of sin and the power of what? Death. The only proof that sin has been forgiven, that the power of sin has been wiped away permanently, was that he had to get up from the dead. I'm explaining something here. His resurrection is a sign for you. It's a sign for me. A sign of what? That's what we're discussing. And I think that's why Paul used to emphasize so much on the cross. On the cross. Why? Because only that resurrection, all right, showed that cross was valid. So once the resurrection took place, we understood, or we understand now, that the cross was accepted before God. Listen, if we were able to understand spiritual operations, what will have happened that for 3 days we'll have been on edge? Are you getting my point? Like, did things work out? Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll have been on edge. Knowing that the whole plan of redemption, did it work out? Did it work out? There's only say, he's risen. He's risen. We'll say, praise God. Now, we are not praising God that, hey, we thought you were dead. Thank God you are not dead. Listen, whether you are dead or not, when we get to heaven, we'll see you. Are you getting my point? So why are we rejoicing that you are awake now? It's not that, now we can see you, because he didn't stay long. Why we rejoice that now he is risen from the dead is that we are saying, good, the sacrifice has been accepted. His resurrection means my sins have been forgiven. His resurrection means all things are now passed away. I hope you are getting my point. Romans chapter 3. I said we should read it, right? 4, sorry. Now, let me start from verse 23. Now, not only for his sake only, talking about the fact that faith was reckoned as righteousness. He said, not only for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He said, he was delivered over because of our transgressions, and he was raised because of what? Our justification. You know, for a long time I read that, I didn't know what it meant. He said he was raised because we are no longer sinners. That's what it means. That is, if he was not raised, we would have died in our sins permanently. That is, his resurrection means what? It means my sins have been forgiven. If your sins were not forgiven, then he would have remained dead. Please, I need you to listen to this message until it sinks into your heart. That is why, listen, in this life, never, ever accept a negative report. You can't accept it. You can't. Let nobody use your problems in life to prove that Jesus did not rise up from the dead. Are you getting my point? That is it. I've started 3 businesses, they did not work. What does it mean? I'm under a curse. Unless you have not believed. Unless you have not believed. Listen. Don't even be afraid of Ebola virus. It can't kill you. That's not a joke. That is not a joke. That's not a joke. Listen to me. An accident can't even kill you. Sit in front, in a car that was squashed entirely, you will find yourself outside and wonder, what's wrong with that car? They say, you were inside. I was inside. Are you sure? Somebody say amen. Yeah. You know what we need in life? Full persuasion. What did I call it?
Full
persuasion. Yes. Oh, full persuasion. You know one of the films I like most, I'm not a movie person, all right? In a whole year, I don't know how many new films I watch, all right? In fact, you show me there's a new film, I don't want to watch. I like the old one, the one I've seen before. I say, hey, show this again. There are a few movies I have in the house. They are almost 30 years old each. Yes. I watched some of them. Okay, no, not 30 years old. Then, not that old. Just 25. Yes. Because I saw some of them when I was a youth copper. All right, or when we're doing house job, youth service. That's when I saw them for the first time. And they were not fresh releases. So they were maybe a few years old then. And that kind of thing where they watch, all right? But of all the films I've watched in this life, one of the ones that impresses me the most is Matrix. Matrix. Not Matrix Reloaded. I don't know what they reloaded in it. What they did was reload the money. You know what the money, when a brand is very popular, they milk it. They will reach part 4. You know, like Die Hard part 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, and Die Hard Again and Die. You know what? I watched the first 2 or so, you know. It's a principle in Hollywood. They want to milk it, all right? Milk the money out, all right? Until that brand has been exhausted. So I don't know about Matrix 2, Matrix. I've not. It's only the first one I saw, Matrix. You know what I like Matrix? I'll tell you. What I like about Matrix is that guy, they said he was the chosen one. Or they said he's the one. Is that the one they called him? Yes. Neo. And what name of the guy that was hunting him around? Morpheus. Yes. Morpheus was trying to explain to the one that he was the one. And the one did not understand that he was the one. And Morpheus kept on. Now, Morpheus had a lot of people who believed in him more than the one, more than Neo. Those guys working with him, they believed in him totally. But they didn't have that resurrection spirit inside them. So it could not train them to the level. It just be like Chinese film. Are you getting my point? He couldn't train them to that particular level. But he took this guy and kept on training him and kept on working on him through everything. He would give his life for this young man because he said, this guy is the one. And the first time they were fighting, the other guys were watching and saying, my God, this guy's, is it neurokinetics? He says, neurokinetics is way too fast. They said, man, this guy is special. They knew something was up. And then he said that, okay, are you saying that when I'm fully developed, I'll be able to dodge bullets? The guy said, no. I am saying that when that time comes, you would not need to dodge bullets. Because they thought, what they understood was that, you know, you have to be able to move very fast to be able to dodge bullets like the agents, you know, used to do and stuff like that. And one day with that, as the guy was being trained, as the pressures of life were coming to him, all right, suddenly there was a time he found himself dodging bullets, did not know, you know, how. And then a time came, they thought they had killed him. He woke up again, and this time around, he did not need to dodge bullets. Are you getting my point? You get my point. There was a power inside him. I'm making an issue here. Until he reached that particular point, they could have killed him. Yeah, beforehand. That's why Paul was saying that I may know him. And therefore, by that knowledge of him, experience the power of his resurrection. What I'm saying is, this is not something that an unbeliever will practice. You have to be chosen. You know what I'm saying? You have to be the one. And what is the one? Every believer, or who is the one? Every believer in Christ Jesus. But even though they are chosen, except they get to know it. You know what he said? He said, they know not, neither do they understand. Therefore, they walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are shaken under their feet. He said, but I said, ye are gods. You see, when they don't understand, they will walk and die like mere men. What am I trying to explain? What we are describing, what I am describing concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a prayer you need to pray is like Paul. God, help me to understand. Because once you understand it, I'm telling you, if you forget your phone in Sambisa Forest, phone, you will go and collect it. And you won't be afraid of any shekau. It's risky. It's risky because you think there's a problem. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Listen, that is the meaning of resurrection. Resurrection simply means the sacrifice for sin has been accepted and you have been forgiven. There's one lie people who preach half gospel. They are not wicked people, they just don't know. They say, even though God forgives you, yet the consequences will live with you is a lie. What did I say? I didn't hear you well. If God forgives you, the resurrection power overcomes the consequences. When we say things like that, we are saying Jesus didn't rise up from the dead. He died though. That's forgiveness. That's what we are saying. But we say after he died, he just died and he remained dead. If God forgave, whatever that sin sent us into, forgiveness will bring us out of it. I'll make this statement. I won't explain it. But I have to drop this statement. If a man is condemned because he's a murderer, if God forgives his sin of murder, resurrection power will free him from jail. I won't say more than that. I will not explain. In fact, I don't have enough explanation. I'm under an unction tonight. I'm just talking. I will go home and go and say, what did you say? I will ask myself, what were you saying? I don't care. I'll be like the prophets of the Old Testament. They will finish talking, say, what are you talking about? The Holy Spirit say, wait. You will hear the testimonies later when men begin to apply it. You will hear the testimonies when women begin to apply it. Listen to me. All you need to do, I need to say this, to the word of God is what? Amen. Don't look for explanation. Don't let medical science explain away your miracle. I hope you are getting my point. How shall these things be? I don't know. The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow me. By the time something comes out of what we are talking about, then they will know it had to be by the power of God. What is resurrection? That somebody got up who was dead is not the issue. It's what that person's resurrection means. Jesus rose from the dead means there is no reason. Listen, you know, we use money because everybody can understand it to explain things. Jesus rose from the dead simply means if you're calling in life, you looking at me this evening, if your calling in life is to be an industrialist and be a financier and be what Robert Kiyosaki calls a capitalist, listen, if that is what will satisfy your vision and make you feel like you have fulfilled what God said you should do, all right? You listening to me tonight, one day will be listed as the richest man in the world and it won't be a big deal. It just be a matter of your wife will come and say, honey, have you heard what? And they say, we are not the richest family on the earth. You say, what do they know? You know, you just say it like that and continue your work. Your friends will call you, hey, congratulations. You what? You are the richest man in the world now. You say, hey, wait. Am I richer now that they put it in the newspapers than I was yesterday before the newspaper found out? They say, no, so why are people congratulating me? It's not an achievement. I'm just working. You get what I'm saying? I'm just living. They say, who do you know? Who do I need to know on the earth? David said, who do I have in heaven but you? As a result, on this earth, I have desired to know nobody else. You didn't go to school. That is what is called the power of what? Death. I can become anything is the reason why Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't rise from the dead so I can become. He rose from the dead as a sign that I can become. I don't know what I get my point. The resurrection was not, in itself was not producing anything new. It was a sign of everything that has been produced. I just use that money thing to help you. That's why in this life, listen, your life must not make sense. Are you getting my point? Yes, yes. It will be plotting things out for you. You know, at the age of 40, if you do this, if you don't do this, by the age of 50, you can't do that. So, then forget that nonsense. Just forget that nonsense. Forget that nonsense. I have been crucified with Christ. That is, that arrangement has been crucified. Nevertheless, I live. The life I now live, it's not my life. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know what that means? It means the same power that brought him up from the dead without requiring red blood cells. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was not running on blood. Yet he ate fish. That means the new power with which he was working could still interact with physical things. That's the mistake a lot of Christians make. Even because you are walking by supernatural power, it means that you wake up in the morning, you won't spend money again. Just like this, food will come out of the atmosphere. No, after he rose from the dead, they were still fishing. And he told them, come on, let's eat. Some found fish, roasted, and he ate fish. That is the person operating with the power of God. You still go to work normally, but you be afraid. He's not a normal person. I don't know where you get my point. He may eat fish normally. He's not digesting fish and absorbing it with the same power that everybody else is digesting. He's being sustained by the power of resurrection. And Paul said, this is my aim in life. Listen, let me close with this. Listen, this is the life of a believer. It is not striving after the flesh. Let me explain something. Be careful. If everybody is saying that they are plotting like this so that by the time they reach this age, they can finally achieve this. Don't walk like that. You're plotting so you can buy a car. You're plotting so you can have children and send them abroad. That's flesh and blood plotting. Yes. You know what Paul said? This is what I'm striving for, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Anything in life that's not improving your knowledge of God is a waste of your time. He said, what about my work? In work, you had better be improving in the knowledge of God. Listen, I told you before, God didn't give you a job just so they can have work, you know, so you can eat. No. He gave you a job for a number of reasons. One, so you can exercise yourself in godliness, because godliness is being good. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why you can't afford to go to your office and behave like unbelievers. You know why? Because you went to work to exercise godliness. Oh, God. Let me tell you how believers get things out of their bosses. They will go home and say to God, you are the just God. I think what Laban is doing is not fair. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You behave like that. Listen, Jacob made Laban rich. Jacob was so diligent that when Laban lost money, he covered the expenses from his own court. Go and read it. He said that when your sheep were torn by beasts, I never reported to you. Laban, all those years, thought that animals, the wild animals, went on strike. Yet, by the time God was through with paying Jacob, the children of Laban said, Jacob has taken everything that belonged to our father. That's what the children of Laban said when God was through with paying him. You don't go to work to go and earn money primarily. You go there first of all to go and exercise godliness. Somebody said something to us the other day. He said, don't strive to make your presence felt. Have you heard him say it again? Assert your presence. He said, walk in such a manner that your absence will be noticed immediately. That is, walk in such a manner that you'll be almost indispensable. If you walk in a place and they are happy to see you go, you are not going into prosperity. Let me just warn you. No. Go and get another job and go and work one more year. You have to work in such a manner that when you want to go, you will be negotiating. Must you go now? Why don't you just wait? Give us another 6 months. Okay, do you understand? If that doesn't happen, please don't go. Your going is not going to bless you. What I'm saying is very, very true. Listen, believers, the way we operate is very different. If Jacob wants something from Laban, he discusses with God. He doesn't come harassing Laban. But by the time he's through, he'll be richer than Laban. No matter the way Laban played, the power of God working with him made Jacob only grow richer. When Jacob wanted to leave, Laban had to go and tell. Laban went to check with the Babalawos that they knew around there, all the diviners. They said, that man wants to go. Don't let him go. He's the only reason why you are rich. If you want to be rich in life, first make somebody rich. Then you know you're on your path to greatness. If you are working in a place, they have not prospered because of your presence. You want to start your own company. Not because, but poverty is your friend. Yes. You walk in a place, you think, I can do it. Me too, I can do it. What are they doing there? I can do it now. You don't need to say you can do it. Do it for somebody else first. You know, I'm digressing now, but that's good cover for practice. You know what I call cover for practice? Go and help somebody else do something. You don't have to buy land. You get my point, to exercise your skill. The boss has bought the land. You don't have to. You don't have to go and buy machinery. The man has bought the machinery. So, you should be very happy when they give you the job. He said, they are paying me little. That is good. Sit down there and make yourself indispensable. Not go there across the line. What are they doing? I can do it too. Not apply for UN so that you can get money to do what you could not do for somebody else. You can win the cash, but you will lose in life. You want to know what you really can do? Go and do it for somebody first. Go and do it for somebody. Say, I can make this 1,000 into a million. Go to somebody's office. Turn his 1,000 into a million. Then we win. These are spiritual principles. But my emphasis, listen to me, is this. And that's the fact that we operate by a different power for our blessing. So everywhere we go in life, it's not we are looking for money. We are going there to exercise godliness. We are going there to exercise faithfulness. We are going there to show people what God can do through human beings in blessing people. What if I don't make money while I'm there? Did you come there to look for money? You came there to prove that God working within inside you will transform the lives of people around you. Once that is done, you can walk away free. Don't worry, you will be rich. And listen. You satisfy that wealth is your portion automatically. That's how the life of Christians are. Let me stop there. Because if I continue talking, I'll bring another thing. What have I said so far? Jesus rose from the dead to show to you that you can't die. Say amen now.
Amen.
Your marriage can't die.
Amen.
Your business can't die.
Amen.
Your body won't die.
Amen.
Yes, you say, am I going to live forever? Listen, I told you, Paul left when he said, it is finished. Are you getting my point? Nothing else to do. Then he now exited and said, guys, I see you somewhere else. That was when they now removed his head. You may say, they beheaded him. No, Paul removed his own head and gave to them. Yes, that's what happened. Really, in the realm of the spirit. No, like Jesus Christ. Who are you seeking? They all fell down. Come now. Get up. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. They fell back. Come now. Why are you falling down? Are you afraid? Come up. Who are you looking for? Jesus Christ. They fell down. When he said, it is me. You know, they all fall down. Peter was bringing out his sword. You know, go take out. I don't go agree. He wanted to cut, that Peter, bad guy. You know, to cut somebody's head. The man managed to dodge. He removed the guy's ear. He just took the ear, healed it, and said, Peter, put down your sword, forget. Are you thinking, if deliverance was my problem, I would not have asked the Father, and he would not have sent 12 legions of angels? You think I'm alone because I don't know how to activate angels? I know how to. But it's time to be alone. Let them take me. Guys, let us go. That was the same principle upon which Paul died. Why? Because while they were living, he said that was what he was going for, to attain the power of his resurrection. And I'm saying to you, that must be your goal in life. And it comes from understanding, and it comes from what? Full persuasion. Why I digress into that is that even when you go to work, that's the primary thing. I say all the time, I did not understand God half as much as I began to understand him when he gave me a wife. I'm not joking. I didn't understand disobedience until my wife disobeyed me. I could disobey God. He won't lose anything. Are you getting me? You know the way we treat God. If I do one small thing, it won't affect him. He will forgive. So it's inside your body, you don't know. That's how you do all the ruku you do. You love God, but inside, deep inside, you know, say, if I thief money, God no go lose anything. How much money? It's not his money. You know that kind of attitude. So you can disobey him and not feel bad. I didn't understand disobedience until I told my wife, don't do A. And I came back, she did exactly what I said, do not do. Then I now told God, I am sorry for all the ones that I did. I didn't understand love, really, all right, until I had children. So when you now tell me that I give to God before he gives to you, because it's easy for me to understand. You tell me that Kilu has to give to me before I give to him? Waiting. I smoke something. Even if I smoke something, I can't reach that level. What am I saying? Even in my relationships, I'm discovering God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So in everything, we are pursuing the knowledge of God, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you are blessed, just bow your head and say, Lord, thank you. Just 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 say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, I can walk with my shoulders high. I am not afraid. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Give me insight that I may attain to full persuasion, that I may experience the power of his resurrection. And listen, as a child of God, anything appears dead in your life, speak to it now. Say, you die, okay? You can't die. I speak life to you because Jesus rose from the dead. Say it, my sins are forgiven. So the consequences are gone because Jesus rose from the dead.